From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 94. Windows 10 is out, but we're still sticking with Windows 9.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey, if you listen to Deemable Tech every single week, you should get involved. Help us decide what news stories we talk about on the podcast. Visit our Reddit page at deemable.com/reddit. There you can vote stories up or down or submit ones of your own. If we missed one during the week, let us know.
Yeah, that's right. Like, dudes, how could you not talk about that? Just be like, hey, I'm going all up in the Reddit page. I'm going to submit a story. I'm going to make them talk about it.
Yeah.
And another way to support the Deemable Tech is go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave a review. We're going to keep saying it forever, every day, every episode. Mm. The more reviews we have, the more people will find Deemable Tech, the more popular we'll be. And that's what we're in this for. We want to be popular.
Money, fame, power, prestige. So,
and like I said, you know, if we don't get any reviews, you know, we might have to stop doing the show.
Ray will throw a hissy fit,
and
cry.
It's real simple. You can even do like D. Pagano did. He just wrote, or she, it's a D, so I don't know. It could be a Diane or a David. I don't know.
Dolores.
Dolores, could be.
It's Dolores Umbridge.
You know, very, very succinctly wrote, great tech podcast. I listen every week. That's all you got to do. 5 stars, folks. We love 5 stars. We'll even take 4, maybe 3. Below 3, you know, just keep it to yourself. But if you want more Deemable Tech, write up a quick review. Go to iTunes and write something up. Now let's take a look at this week's rundown.
Our top story this week is the long-awaited release of Microsoft's Windows 10.
Yay!
In an unprecedented move, Microsoft has made the new Windows available as a free upgrade to anyone who had Windows 7, 8, or 8.1. The upgrade became available to download for most of those folks starting on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
With Windows 10, Microsoft hopes to reunite its fractured user base, many of whom are still stuck way back on Windows XP.
Oh, yeah.
Windows 10 will feature continuous upgrades and maybe the last major Windows version for the foreseeable future. To lure back customers scared off by the controversial Windows 8, Windows 10 brings back the Start button and does away with the Charms menu. Other new features include the integration of Microsoft's Siri-like virtual assistant Cortana, the brand new Edge web browser, virtual desktops, and Mission Control, which gives you an overview of all the apps you have running. Ray Hollister has bravely volunteered to install Windows the 10th on the dual boot partition of his MacBook. So, Ray, tell us how that's going.
Well, the beauty of Windows 10 is that you can't install Windows 10 as a fresh, clean install, except you can, but you can't.
So you can?
No.
Did you?
What are you saying here, Ray?
Well, I found this out the hard way. You can upgrade to Windows 10.
Yes.
Except if you're smart like I was, quote, air quotes around that smart, you can download an ISO to burn to a DVD to install Windows 10, or you can install it from a thumb drive. Mm. And if you do it that way, you can actually install a fresh, clean build of Windows 10.
Okay. Sounds good.
The problem is you can't get a product code for Windows 10 yet. And when you install a fresh, clean install, you have to have a product code. So there is a workaround that people have figured out. Forbes actually did a great article explaining how to install it without getting into the problems that I had. But basically, it's kind of convoluted. What you have to do, you have to upgrade. So you have to upgrade your Windows 7, Windows 8, or 8.1 installation. Then once you've upgraded it and you've run all the updates, then you can use a key extractor because it creates a key for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can use a key extractor to extract the product key from Windows 10. Then you can reinstall Windows 10, wipe your partition, start all over again, and reinstall.
Holy mackerel.
So I have not gotten to that yet. Right now I am using a version of Windows 10 that is not activated. And the not activated version is kind of stinky.
Yeah?
It just is black screen with you haven't activated Windows yet, and you can't do anything.
I mean,
you can use it. But you can't change any settings. Mm-hmm. You can't change the way it looks.
Oh.
It's basically like pirated Windows 7, how it would give you that pirate error, you know, that you're using a non-genuine copy. You never experienced that?
I have not. I remember old Windows.
I won't explain why I have experienced that.
We're legit, Ray, so legit. We don't have to worry about that.
What I'm used to back in the day, I guess, is that you just get nagged every so often. This is not a genuine copy, but everything worked.
Yeah. Well, after a while, they switched it to where you got everything turned black. We nicknamed it pirate mode. Your screen went black. You couldn't change your wallpaper. It was all things that weren't absolutely necessary, but they were kind of annoying. Yeah, exactly. So, and it looks like that's what they're doing with Windows 10 too, which is interesting because for the longest time, it looked like Windows 10 was going to be available for everybody. Yeah. Even if you had pirated it, it didn't matter. You could get Windows 10, but it's very clear that that's not the case. Now, also too, I am running it on Boot Camp on the Mac, which for those of you that aren't familiar with it, Boot Camp is a dual boot environment. I didn't find how I could set it up so that my networking options worked. It did work the first time I installed it on the LAN, because I've got a Thunderbolt to LAN adapter. But today when I tried to boot into it, I couldn't get on the Wi-Fi. So not sure if maybe Apple hasn't built the drivers for Windows 10 yet or not. But I know The Verge and PC World have articles on how to install it on your Mac. So I'll check it out later once I reinstall Windows 8.1. Update it to Windows 10, get the product key, and then I'll build it fresh.
All right. Now, to be clear, I have not done this process because I have one laptop, which is my livelihood, and I'm just a little afraid to risk it on the super early release of Windows 10.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'm reading reports out there that, I mean, it's literally like people are clicking yes, express install.
Oh, yeah.
And they come back in 45 minutes and it's done. It's running.
A friend of mine from my old job posted on Facebook, and he is the least tech savvy person in the world. Hey, I've got Windows 10. I'm like, man, seriously? Like, that's not fair. He was really proud of himself because he had upgraded to Windows 10. But yeah, now a lot of folks who did reserve Windows 10, they haven't gotten the update yet. That is happening to some folks. Like, they haven't got it yet, but Microsoft has said, we know it's coming, we're just stretching it out.
Staggered release, so they don't destroy their servers.
Right. But if you want to skip the line, you can skip the line, but don't do like I did. Don't go ahead and do a fresh install. Even though it gives you the option, you can't actually do a fresh install unless you've already upgraded your Windows.
Now, I do have a laptop that I'm willing to sacrifice for and I actually just had to reinstall Windows 7 on it.
Oh, okay.
So it's a clean install of that, and I haven't done anything to it, so I may as well just try Windows 10. Just to see what it's like.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And I'm gonna rebuild this and do it again. Honestly, except for Mac, I've never liked upgrades.
Yeah.
I want a fresh install of the operating system. Mm-hmm. Every time I've upgraded, it just didn't work as well. And then you end up having to do a two-step process later if you bought like the Windows 98 upgrade, you had to reinstall Windows 95 and then upgrade it to 98 and then run all the updates. So yeah.
Well, certainly Microsoft does have a history of that. I remember I think the 98 SE, this went way back, was dangerous if you didn't have pretty much a fresh install of 98. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, feature-wise, and with the understanding that we don't have anything really running properly, but what are you excited about in Windows 10?
Cortana.
I agree.
I haven't had a chance to
at last, I'll have someone to talk to when I'm all alone.
Well, I have Siri to talk to. You can talk to Google Now.
She didn't
Google
talk
Now
back.
Doesn't have a name, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's just Google Now. That's weird.
It gives you answers, but not the answers you really want.
Yeah, I was excited to see that Cortana was on it. I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet because I also don't have my sound card set up, so she can't hear me.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, they brought back the start button. Exciting. But people are like, once you start using Cortana, you don't need the start button. You will just search for everything.
And you know,
so why even bother? But
I'm excited to see how the voice recognition works, because the voice recognition on Windows 8.1, I went from the almost perfect voice recognition on the Mac and the same exact hardware on 8.1, and it looked like a third grader was typing up what I was saying. It was horrendous. And don't get me started on voice commands in Windows. That was even worse. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm excited. I'm hoping it's really good.
Yeah, people seem
since they were willing to put the Cortana name on it, which is a valuable brand at Microsoft. I'm hoping it'll be as good as expected.
People seem, pleased and impressed with Windows 10 so far.
Now, Ray, are you excited about the new browser in Windows 10, Microsoft Edge?
I did play with it a little bit when I had it open, when it was connected to the internet. It's okay. It reminds me a lot of the browser in Windows 8, that Internet Explorer.
Really?
in Windows 8, yeah.
Well, there is at least one high-profile person who is not happy about Windows Edge Microsoft Edge. Mozilla CEO Chris Beard is less than pleased with Windows 10. It appears that when you do an upgrade with Express settings, it will default your browser to Microsoft Edge, even if you had Firefox selected as your default before.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Even worse, in Windows 10, the default browser is now buried down in the settings control panel, meaning that it is difficult for non-technical users to find. Microsoft defends the changes as making the upgrade simple and cohesive for users and says that they may make improvements in the future.
Yeah, they'll make improvements when they're ordered by a core to do it, which is how that usually goes.
I know. You'd think, there's so many antitrust suits about this exact sort of behavior. You would think they would have learned their lesson.
Well, and we've talked about this before, too. It doesn't seem fair that Microsoft has to stick with, they have to make it available for all the other browsers. When I have a device right here in my hand that only has one browser.
That's true.
And even if it has more than one browser, I can't change the default.
Yeah,
true. iPhones and iPads, They're computers. I mean, to differentiate them from desktops is ridiculous.
But you have a choice with your phone. Like, you could get an Android phone. 80% of all phones are Androids.
Sure.
It's not a monopoly.
Yeah.
Now, there's more of a choice these days, but there was a period of time where you were pretty much running a Windows desktop or you were a serious enthusiast for Macintosh.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Well, even now, Macs are still in the minority, yeah. Well, let's quit bashing Microsoft and we'll move on to bash somebody else.
But it was so fun. I know.
Well, actually, this is kind of fun news. The BBC is reporting that Facebook has built a drone.
Okay.
It has the wingspan of a Boeing 737.
Dang.
And it will fly as high as 90,000 feet for as long as 90 days at a time.
Huh.
I'm guessing it runs on solar power. I didn't look that up. I should have seen what it flies on.
Yeah.
It must be solar power.
What's it doing up there? Liking your status updates?
It's just liking everything. No, it's providing wireless internet access at up to 10 gigabits a second.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I'm like, I want one of those drones flying over my house. The drone will communicate via a freaking laser beam. That the laser can actually hit a target the size of a dime more than 10 miles away.
Does it hurt?
I hope not. That would be bad.
It doesn't hurt, but it does leave like a branding that's the thumbs up from Facebook. That's what it does.
Actually, Mark Zuckerberg's tiny face.
Wow, yeah. Speaking of the Zuckerbergs, just found out that they are expecting a little girl.
Oh, congratulations,
Mark. And
or the Zuckerberg Chans, I guess. I think that's his wife's name.
Is that what she went with? She went hyphenated?
No, I think her name is Chan. So together they would be Zuckerberg Chan. I guess. I don't know.
I have no idea.
That sounds like a weird sort of geek fan club.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Anyways, going back to the business of Facebook, the lasers will connect the drones together because there's going to be multiple drones flying at 90,000 feet or lower.
I feel like I've seen this movie, but keep going. It didn't end well.
They will connect the drones together via laser and connect it to the ground for communications. So this is part of Facebook's internet.org project you may be familiar with.
All right.
To bring internet access to the developing world. Now, no word on whether this will be like internet.org's last launch, which only included access to a few websites, which caused a little bit of backlash since the access supposedly gave an unfair advantage to those sites. Facebook will be testing the drones later this year in the United States.
Okay. I'm assuming one of the websites available is Facebook.
Yeah.
Probably.
I asked, what were the websites?
Probably Facebook and Wikipedia.
And not Google Plus.
And not Google Plus, no.
What about internet.com?
Just internet.org.
Well, drones, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Giant Facebook drones. Speaking of not Google Plus, Google's ill-fated competitor, Google Plus, courted a lot of controversy back in 2013. I don't know if you remember this story, but they, at the time, started requiring users to create a Google Plus profile in order to do a lot of things.
Oh, yes.
Including to comment on YouTube.
Well, yes, they broke the already broke YouTube comments.
Yeah. This week on the official Google blog, the search giant announced that they would be hitting the undo button on that policy. They said that a Google account would be all you need to share content, create contacts, comment on YouTube, and more across all of Google. And this change will reportedly be rolled out in the, quote, coming months. And this announcement comes on the heels of Google splitting Google Plus in two, with Google Photos becoming its own standalone service and app.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're not killing Google Plus. They're just letting it die.
Yeah, that's sort of like bit by bit, stripping things away.
Yeah, which isn't, I guess maybe they have to do that before they kill it off, because Google's, it always seems like Google's MO is, they're like, oh, nobody's using that. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're dead. Hope you didn't like that.
As a social network, Google Plus was definitely a failure. Now, I should say that there are a couple niche communities that really use it. But in general, you're not going to find all your friends on Google
Plus. No way.
Unless you have very specific friends. But, you know, Google Photos is actually pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And Google Photos is amazing.
Some interesting stuff. If you've ever had Google pop up its auto awesome and be like, hey, I just turned all your photos green and I made an animated video for you. And you're like, what?
Why did you do that?
Why
That's
did you do
awesome.
That?
I didn't ask you to do that, Google Photos.
It's always either hilarious and sometimes it's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I actually take a lot of burst pictures.
Oh, okay.
And
yes.
It turns it into animated GIFs all the time. I'm like, yes,
cool.
That is so great. Thank you for doing that. Now I don't have to.
I was at GAM last weekend.
That's right. I was a slacker and stayed at home because I was exhausted.
I took a bunch of pictures of the cosplay, including a bunch of guys, including my friend Patrick Duffy as the Avengers in the lineup.
He was all the Avengers?
Wow. He was Captain America.
That's amazing.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, that's
he
impressive
was just
cosplay.
Changing really quickly.
Or I was thinking he was a little bit of each. Like,
oh, no. I was thinking he had Iron Man's, like, removable armor where it was like sliding onto his arms and
no,
stuff like
but
that.
I know what I'm going to be for Halloween.
You're going to be the Avengers.
The Avengers.
Right. All of them.
Now make sure that the Thor part of your costume is the hair. I feel like that's just perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. No, but anyway, so there's the whole group of people lined up as the Avengers and I started taking, you know, photos of them and did that for about 10 minutes, I think. And sure enough, Google gave me a whole animation of them standing there kind of like, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's great. So, yeah. So Google Plus has spun off Google Photos from that. Of course, Hangouts is a whole big Google app product now that everybody uses.
Mm-hmm. Hangouts is actually pretty impressive as well.
It's really impressive considering that it's apparently exposing our phones. We'll get to that to all kinds
of... Oh, there's more news? Okay.
Hold on. What?
Yeah. But yeah, you know, Hangouts has been a big success. So it's like they're taking all these cool things that came out of Google Plus that had nothing to do with being a social network, and Google's running with those, and it's kind of like social network.
Now I think I've said this before, but I've never even used Google Plus. I signed up for it, and then I just never did anything.
You know,
with it.
I think the reason of the many reasons why, I think the biggest reason why Google Plus died is because you couldn't get a username for so long.
Hmm.
You know, you just had that long number.
That's
why ICQ died over the years. I mean, ICQ started with a very niche audience of people who were chatting on there, and it was kind of fun because it was the 90s, you know? So, let me give you my ICQ number. But when Google did that, it was like, can I just have a username?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. So then people started making a username, like, workaround, and it was just ridiculous.
That's true. You know, like, aside from that, like, the interface was fine. In fact, it was great.
Yeah.
Probably preferable to Facebook. But the whole thing about a social network is who's on it.
Yeah.
Nobody was on it.
Yeah.
The Circles was a great idea, too, but it was just too cumbersome to deal with.
I thought it was fine.
Because I have friends who I went to school with, who I worked with. Like, they're multiple circles.
Compared to how Facebook does it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's night and day.
I guess.
I do like it, because, like, I have, in the past, when I thought this might be useful, I did set up elaborate circles on Google+. Plus, I was like, here's family, here's school, here's whatever. And when I do a post, I can quickly be like, oh, this is for family. Mm-hmm. Done.
Yeah.
If you want to do it on Facebook, you can, but it's a lot more time consuming.
Yeah, that's true.
It is.
So that's all fine. But again, it's like people, I guess technically everybody's on it, but people don't post to Google Plus.
No.
They don't put stuff up on there.
No, basically it's news sites. That's all.
Yeah.
Because it's part of our built-in social media stuff that we already do. So it's literally one extra click.
Yeah.
So that we post on.
And there's a couple, again, there's a couple niche, like hobbyist communities that I'm that I deal with that like are into that.
It's like forums. I mean, it's just the
and that's great.
What they tend to be on.
But it's just in general, like, if I go on Google Plus, I might see in the last like 2 months, like one person who's actually a friend who's posted.
Well, speaking of social networks, I posted this on our Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/deemable if you haven't been there.
What's the Google Plus page?
I have no idea. Anyways, I posted this on our Facebook page, but it does bear repeating. As a general rule, I think I speak for all of us when I say everyone here at Deemable Tech is anti-killer robots. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say
so.
We don't want to be attacked by killer robots.
No, thank you.
Unless, as I also said on Facebook, the uprising has already happened, in which case, let me rephrase that. How may we serve you, robot masters?
Yes.
Just want to be on the right side of history, whatever, however it works out.
I, for one, welcome them.
They're coming. So I bring this all up because Elon Musk, you know, Iron Man, the guy that brought you PayPal, Tesla, SpaceX, the Hyperloop, and who apparently plans to die on Mars.
Oh, did not know that.
And Ultron.
Yeah. He is Ultron also?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And Steve Wozniak, who is the reason why you have a computer on your desk, smartphone in your pocket, and ultimately why you're listening to this podcast. He brought PCs to the world. I mean, there was no personal computer before
Somebody
Steve Wozniak.
Somebody shrunk a computer without him.
Okay, maybe, but
you made it sound like he invented the computer. Let's table this.
We're not picking about Steve Jobs, okay? We're talking about Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
A demigod, okay?
The Woz.
He still didn't invent the computer.
He invented... Whatever. Okay.
Just give him respect based on his name alone, at least.
Heck yeah.
I give him respect. He was important.
He's going to be on this show eventually. All right. And Stephen Hawking, who you'll know as the guy who played poker with Data, Albert Einstein, and Isaac Newton on Star Trek Next Generation.
Love that episode.
Yeah.
Just watch it.
I think he's also contributed some other stuff. I'm not really sure, but they have joined a letter calling for the banning of autonomous weapons. Now, we talked about a weaponized drone last week that had a gun attached to it. Well, imagine an autonomous drone with a gun that basically could pick its own targets and decide who it's going to kill with no human intervention.
Better and better.
So, Ultron.
Ultron. Exactly.
That's why I have a small baseball cap with a little plastic drone mounted on top. I could put on any time, and then I can disguise myself as a drone. From above, I would look just like one.
Yeah, that's true.
That is flawless.
There's no problem with that plan.
Perfect plan. Well, these icons, I guess you'd have to call them, these men of greatness, aren't as concerned about them throwing a revolution and killing humanity as they are concerned about another Cold War arms race where every country basically tries to build bigger, better, faster killing machines. But considering a robot recently demonstrated self-awareness, maybe they should be concerned about that robot uprising too.
What robot recently demonstrated self-awareness?
The cutest robots I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
There's an article, Slash Gear covered it, and there's a video on the article, too. They are Neo robots.
This is from Japan, I take it.
I don't know where they're from. It's the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. It's a really cool experiment. What they did is they gave him a pill, which is actually a line of code. And the pill, the robots were not aware of which pill they got, but the pill made it where some of them who got the dumbing pill could not respond. And if they got the placebo pill, they could respond. But what they were instructed to do is answer, "I don't know." And actually, you can hear him real quick. I'll play it for you. It's super awesome what happens. Okay, so he taps them on the head, and then he asks them a question. And they're required to respond, "I don't know." And then one of the robots, the one that got the placebo, responds.
"I don't know. Sorry, I know now. I was able to prove that I was not given a dumbing pill."
So the robot was required to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. All of them, all three of the robots were required to say that. But then the one that said it realized, oh, wait, I just said it. So obviously I didn't get the dumbing pill.
Huh.
So I know the answer to that question because he was able to recognize that he said it.
Okay. Hmm.
So he was aware of himself.
Interesting.
They are so adorable.
They're pretty cute.
If they are our overlords, our death is going to be adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. So yeah, that's a thing. Speaking of things that possibly shouldn't be connected to the internet, like killer robots.
Yeah.
As much as I love my connected light bulbs and switches and thermostats, I talk about that stuff all the time on the show here. Mm-hmm. The Internet of Things is not necessarily always a good thing. You know, not everything should be connected to the internet. Case in point, smart guns. So if you didn't know, Tracking Point makes a smart rifle that almost anyone can use to hit a bullseye up to a mile away.
Dang.
So not even a great marksman.
Why would you? Is my question.
You know, maybe there's a deer that's a mile away that you want to shoot.
Okay.
The gun sells for $13,000, so it's out of the price range for a lot of folks. But it has a computer screen for a scope where you can enter the wind speed, the ammunition weight, and the distance to the target. So the computer actually calculates the correct aim, and after you pull the trigger, it waits until you have the shot lined up perfectly before it fires the gun. So you're not actually pulling a trigger that fires the hammer.
Yeah.
You're pulling a trigger that tells the computer to fire the fire the gun.
Gotcha.
So the Mirror from the UK is reporting that a couple of married hackers, that's kind of adorable. First off, can we just pause on that? Married hackers, I think, is really cute. They have hacked the gun wirelessly to make the gun shoot up to 2.5 feet away from the intended target. Now, unless you're a very large person, 2.5 feet away from your target is going to be someone else.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm assuming they're not. Or this is for amateurs. This is a military gun.
Something else.
Something else. or possibly a person. Frighteningly,
not.
Yeah. They also managed to disable the firing pin, making the gun unable to be fired as well. So, once again.
Why is this gun connected to the internet? Because you're already having to enter all this information.
Well, it also can download that information. Like, so you don't have to enter it all in. It can pull that information in and say, well, at your location, the wind speed is currently at this direction going this fast.
Maybe it's like the Nest, you know, you can have it start firing when you're on your way home.
Yeah. I think you can get Spotify on this gun, which is really nice when you're out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking of, does it work with the wink? I mean, you know, motion sensor goes off and the gun targets.
Wow, that would be some serious home security.
And that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. We don't want the robots to have guns.
Nope.
Well, speaking of things getting hacked, NPR is reporting that security firm Zimperium says there is a, quote, gaping hole in Android.
Oh, joy.
That would allow hackers to take over your phone, and all they need is your phone number.
Huh.
You know, we had that big iPhone thing a couple months ago, so I guess it's Android's turn.
It's about time.
That wasn't really a hack. That was a, made your phone reboot.
That's true. This is a hack. The app Hangouts, which a lot of people use for texting and messaging, most Android phones now, automatically processes videos when they are received by text message. So basically, all a hacker has to do is send a video with malware inside it and send it to your phone. Since Hangout instantly processes the video, there's nothing you can do to stop it. This will actually take place, my understanding is, before it even notifies you that you have a message. Google has actually come up with a patch and released it, but the great thing about the way Android works is Google can release a patch till they're blue in the face, but the manufacturers of the phones have to also accept the patch and release it to their users.
They're the ones that make their choice,
Yeah, so we'll see how long it takes for the patches to get out to users and if it does at all to some older and more obscure phones.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
Ah, that stinks.
Yeah, it's not
now,
a good
Now, can
situation.
You disable Hangouts from your phone? Could you uninstall it and just use the native text message
It
app?
Depends on the phone. Most Android phones, if it's a native app and it doesn't want you to uninstall it, usually they give you the option to freeze, quote-unquote, the app. Now, I haven't tested this for myself, so I can't tell you if this will make you safe or not, but you might be able to freeze and disable the Hangouts app.
Yeah.
see, that's worth a shot, I guess. You know, but ideally what you should really do is somehow get in touch with your carrier and say, hey,
ask them to
please patch
these
this.
Updates.
Yeah,
yeah,
this is pretty important. And again, this is, there's no exploit out there in the wild for this right now. These are some researchers that demonstrated this, but it's a little scary.
Yeah, it is really scary.
Yeah, Joshua Drake, the security researcher who talked to NPR, he said that ideally they might get up to 50% penetration with this patch.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, ah, but realistically, it's probably going to be closer to 20. So, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, that is rough. Hey, guys, do you want to continue this talk about hacking?
Sure. Good, why not?
Yeah, we're in a groove here.
Yeah,
this I'm is feeling it. I'm
yeah,
feeling
definitely.
It.
Yeah, yeah. We're all like nodding our heads, and
I'm just looking at them like they're crazy because they are.
So this is a bit of a follow up to a story that we brought you last week. We reported that if you had a Jeep Cherokee with Fiat Chrysler's Uconet system, hackers could remotely take control of your vehicle and destroy everyone that you hold dear.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It turns out that
everyone?
Everyone.
Wow.
And everything. And if you're in your car, that probably means yourself and your car and whoever is in your car. It turns out that this was a source of some concern to Chrysler Fiat, as you can imagine.
I can imagine, yeah.
As they have issued an official recall for 1.4 million vehicles to patch this issue. Affected models include certain Dodge Rams, Dodge Vipers, Dodge Chargers, Dodge Challengers, Chrysler's 200s and 300s, and of course, Jeep Grand Cherokees, all model year 2013 or later. If you are driving one of these vehicles, you should check to see if your specific model is affected. The recall does not actually require the vehicles to be taken to the dealer. Affected owners will receive a USB device, which can be used to load the patch into their Uconet systems.
Oh.
Gentlemen, we are living in the future. Now recalls mean that your car has to download a patch.
You can get a software
update. You're gonna get a USB stick in the mail. And just throw that in there, and that's all you have to do.
Man. I was reading something the other day, and it was like, you know what? Basically, all these companies, you know, they're like, Tesla doesn't make cars. Tesla makes computers you can drive. You know, this company doesn't make refrigerators. They make computers that keep things cold.
Yeah.
You know, that's the world we live in.
I get it, I guess, with cars. I don't get it with refrigerators, I don't think.
They're still trying to find a use for that one, I think. They'll get there eventually.
Of course, Ray, you would probably buy a refrigerator that was a smart fridge, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And have it be part of your home automation.
I've honestly wanted to get the Wink egg minder.
That's right. I remember that.
Not that I'll ever use it.
Yeah.
I think it's the dumbest idea ever because I have a really, really tested and true way of checking to see if eggs are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I smell them.
that probably works.
Or I look at them and go, ooh, those are old. Let me throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it's a freaking cool idea. actually, you know, we're talking about Chrysler, but I, in researching this story, just to have something to talk about while we were talking about it, I stumbled on, apparently GM is having an issue where OnStar has been hacked.
Oh, no.
Great.
It says that if somebody has a small $100 box on your OnStar-equipped car or truck, they would be able to locate the car, unlock it, and even start its ignition all from an app.
Oh, well, that's convenient for the hackers that are trying to steal your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wired.com has that story, and what a conundrum there. Yeah, because, I mean... OnStar, there's a YouTube video showing it being OnStar being hacked.
Get it? OnStar, like we own Star.
So yeah,
hackers are really creative that way. I love them. Love them.
So yeah, if you want to hear more about that, check out our links. I'll include a link in the show notes for that as well.
Nice. So stay away from cars. Open skies, apparently, with the drone thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What else should we be avoiding this week?
Well, I mean, this all goes back to what we were saying before. The bottom line is anything connected to the internet can and probably will be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality. If you connect things, it makes it easier for people to get access to them. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of mine was messing with me because I have a camera in my house that's internet equipped, so I can, you know, look at my house and see who comes in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Oh, that camera can get hacked." Yeah, so can everything else. You know, I've got a camera on my laptop that can be hacked.
Yep.
I've got a camera on my phone that I'm sure could be hacked. There are one, two, three, four, five cameras in this room that could be hacked. You know, it can happen. Do we bury ourselves under our pillows and hide in fear? No, we just fix it and make it harder to hack.
That's what we are telling you. Do that right now. Turn off this podcast wherever you are. Go into your bedroom and just crawl under your bed.
It's the only safe place.
Yep.
Well, hey, before we go, I was on First Coast Connect earlier this week to talk about Cecil the Lion.
You were?
Yeah, it's a show. It's out of Jacksonville. It's about local issues affecting the First Coast area.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I don't think I've ever heard of it,
okay.
No.
Well, check it out. It's a really good show.
The joke, ladies and gentlemen, is that Sean Birch has produced First Coast Connect for a long time.
Never heard of it.
Thanks for pulling the audience aside to talk to them. That's
an audio sidebar.
You're welcome.
I actually taught an actor how to do that in It's a Wonderful Life. I'm also producing It's a Wonderful Life. That's so many sidebars. Okay, anyways, the reason I'm letting the audience know is because we talked about Cecil the Lion, not just the lion, but actually the social media reaction.
Yeah.
So check that out. What is the website?
It is wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect.
I should know that. I'm the digital content editor.
Or if you're listening right now in your podcast
app,
you can just go to the First Coast Connect podcast on there.
Literally just iTunes. Search WJCT on iTunes or Stitcher. You'll see our podcast. You'll see First Coast Connect. That is also another great podcast to check out if you're in the Jacksonville area or if you just care about Jacksonville and stuff that's going on. Check out the First Coast Connect podcast and subscribe to that one too.
Yeah.
And of course, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the Deemable Tech podcast and leave a review or and a comments and stars and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have a suggestion.
Plus one us on Google Plus.
Don't do that. No one does that.
That's a waste of time at this point.
I would love it if we started getting likes or pluses or whatever on Google Plus again. But if you have a suggestion or you have a comment for the show, you know you can call us and leave a voicemail. It's 1-888-972-9868. That's a free call. It's free, guys. Just give us a call.
What if they live in Zimbabwe?
If you live in Zimbabwe, then you can send us an email, feedback@deemable.com. You probably want to do it from Wi-Fi because I hear that the data rates in Zimbabwe are really high.
Oh.
So, you know, do that. And don't forget, help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page, submit a story. And if you're the kind of person that's like, I don't want to submit a story, you can vote other stories up or down. All you have to do is click a button.
All of that helps us.
It really does. Mm-hmm. That way we find out what you want us to talk about.
Because we're very indecisive. We're barely functional.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, let me get a drink as well.
Let me get a drink. Can you pause it real quick? I'm dying.
I'm dying over here.
Now that Ray is out of the room, we're going to continue the podcast without him.
What should we talk about?
We're going to do it in this really relaxed, whispery kind of voice.
Because Ray is the one that makes us...
A lot of vocal fry and everything.
Oh, yeah. Some up talk. I like talking up.
That's what people want in a podcast, apparently.
Because millennials, we got to identify with them now.
Because that's what people want in a podcast?
That's right. Totally.
Just a lot of vocal fry?
Oh, yeah.
Can you have vocal fry and upspeak?
I think so, but it's hard.
Because you do have to go, you do have to go up, and a lot of like vocal fry is you're trying to get really low and you're down there.
That's how I'm talking.
Am I speaking with a lot of upspeak and vocal fry?
Everything about this sounds wonderful. Just quality.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.